to PO, the podcast of the International Office of the University of Siegen. My name is Alicia Platt, and I'm happy to welcome you to this episode. Since we're talking about partner universities this month, I wanted to invite a guest who could tell us more about how partnerships between the University of Siegen and other universities abroad work. I would like to welcome Dr. Marcel Hartwig. He's working at Faculty 1 in the Seminar for Anglistic. Besides being a lecturer in American and English Studies, he's also the Online Learning Agreement Commissioner at the department. If you want to know how his work is connected to other universities abroad, stay tuned, because I promise you it gets really interesting. Welcome, Marcel! It's so great to have you here. Thank you for being on my episode.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great that you're here. And today we're going to talk about partner universities, about who are we cooperating with. But first to you, would you like to tell our listeners who you are, what you're doing in the university, and what your job is?
Okay, yeah, I'd gladly do so. So my name is Marcel Hartwig, as you already said. I'm working at the Seminar für Anglistik. So this is the English seminar over here at the University of Siegen. There, I'm a lecturer in American and English Studies. So Anglophone literature and culture is basically my field that I'm working on and doing my research in. Next to that, I'm also the OLA commissioner for the Online Learning Agreements.
OLL is Online Learning Agreement. Is that what it stands for? Because probably our listeners won't know what it means.
Well, this is basically something new that is introduced with the Erasmus exchange programs, that now learning agreements can be completed online, and all the faculties and departments, they need a commissioner to oversee this, who is working closely together with the examination office, so that every grade that is basically achieved when you're going abroad can be also accredited to your course of studies then.
Okay, so that you get your credits while doing abroad, and then you have your credits here.
Exactly. Okay. So I'm overseeing this because in the past I already oversaw some of the applications of outgoing students, and also for incoming students who were studying at our department. I was also receiving them and also looking into their learning agreements. So that is one part of my duties over here. Then I'm also coordinator for the syllabus for every semester, and the courses that we're offering. And I'm also sitting in a research committee where we basically are overseeing applications for new research that when partners in our faculty are applying for third-party funding, and if they need additional money from the university to realize their projects. So this is what I'm doing here.
Okay, that sounds interesting but complex. So, but how is your work connected to partner universities abroad? So how are you in contact with them?
Well, I happen to be in contact. The first time a delegation from Tulsa came over here to the international office, and as I was already working with incoming and outgoing students back then, I was invited to attend that meeting, and that is quite a while ago. I think it was in 2015 or so.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, and so I happened to be in that, and as I was in American Studies, and it's an American university, I coincidentally got in touch with those representatives of the university, and the first time we went to Tulsa in 2018, and again, since I'm here at uni, to renew the long-standing cooperation. It started back then in the 1980s already.
So it goes way back.
It goes way back.
Wow.
Exactly. And so I happened to be in Tulsa then, and I since then I'm basically integrated in the cycle as a representative for English and American literature, but also I'm cooperating with the Dean for International here. This is our American Studies professor, Professor Stein. Whenever there's new students going to Tulsa and students coming in from Tulsa.
Okay, so your work basically includes overlooking the process, or what is it that you exactly do? Like having students coming in and out, or is it more about the syllabus, or what is it?
Well, when you're applying to study, for instance, in Tulsa, here with the university, you also need well, the Hint-In application with the international office, and the international office is closely working together with a member of the faculty to oversee these applications and then make recommendations based on the application to the University of Tulsa, which then would invite students to then apply there and before they get the letter of acceptance to go there and study. So from the amount of applications that are coming in, we're basically filtering through and see who would be eligible to go.
Eventually. You're a great candidate. You go. And with what or with which other partner universities do you work with? Is it just Tulsa, or do you have other universities?
Well, in the US, we currently also have a research cooperation with Norfolk State. That is a historically black university college in Virginia. This research collaboration was initiated in 2006 by back then Dr. Kathy Wagner, who is now retired. But
yeah, I know her.
And so this is still going on, and we just have also a new memorandum of understanding for this research cooperation. I've been there last year, shortly before COVID hit, and back then we already had a first student who would be coming to Siegen to study here, but due to COVID, this did not happen, so we have to try again, because by now it is only a research cooperation that that we have, which is also a very feasible cooperation so far, but we would also wish to expand this to students.
That sounds interesting. So this is one other university you're in touch with in the US and in other countries?
Yeah, in Ireland, we also have a cooperation with the University of Maynooth, where Erasmus changes are happening. And we had, until this year, a cooperation with the University of Leeds also, which we then basically lost because of the Brexit as contracts were not renewed. I'm also overseeing a cooperation with Izmir in Turkey. And in Uppsala, with the University of Uppsala in Sweden. But we also have a cooperation in light of Professor Anja Müller's endeavors with the University of Veliko Tarnovo in Bulgaria.
In Bulgaria. Is that quite a new cooperation?
No, it's also a long-standing cooperation, actually. I think it started back then in 2011.
So, but the longest partnership, as you can say, you have is with Tulsa, but goes back in the 1980s, that you said? That's the longest that the University of Siegen has.
And this basically happened because Victor Utwin, who is responsible for teaching students German in Tulsa, he was on the lookout in the 1980s to find universities in Germany to cooperate with to send his students here to get better practical language experience in German. And he thought that Siegen is a perfect spot to do this because over here students would have a hard time getting through with English.
Well, he was right.
So this has also been a very productive exchange so far. Most of the students who came here to Siegen are also now in important positions in the US. They have gathered a lot of good experiences here. The one story that I'm very aware of is that of the Marshall Brewery. So Eric Marshall came to Siegen to study here, and he then did a practical training with Krombacher and then with another brewery in Germany, and then he went back and he started his own microbrewery, and he also started an alumni program for Siegen alumni who studied here in Tulsa.
This is so interesting.
He's still having this running business there, and it's very successful.
That's so cool. Wow. So you mentioned the Brexit and COVID before. Let's go to the COVID situation, because I can imagine that it has been difficult the last year to, I mean, could you visit any of the universities, or how was the work together then?
So by now it would be problematic if you want to travel to the US without, for instance, being an international student or being employed in the US or actually being an American citizen who's living in Europe. So the Europeans still cannot travel to the US, which is also causing a certain rupture in the cooperation, because you have to resort to online communication and emailing. And this is a bit problematic, but it can also bridge this long stretch of not being there and seeing each other and having talks with each other,
mm-hmm.
which usually in the past is also the more effective way of going about these exchanges, because emails, they can also get stuck in your incoming emails and may not get a response within a week, and then you forget about this. And so that is a bit problematic if you only resort to this kind of communication. But what we did with Tulsa, for example, and this was also a very happy coincidence. I was teaching a course on the US elections in the past semester.
Yeah, okay.
And I invited scholars from the US to join in for our Zoom meetings when we were basically attending the election night overnight.
Oh, so wow.
The students had to make presentations on different topics there. And we had professionals tuning in from Tulsa, from Norfolk, also from Florida, as mm-hmm. I'm right now having or starting a research cooperation.
Okay.
With the University of South Florida and St. Petersburg and Tampa. And yeah, so they tuned in, and what came out of this event was basically that students from Siegen and students of Tulsa then stayed in touch, and we had Zoom meetings every other week so that they can talk about things that are going on in Germany and in the US, and this was all supervised by Victor Utwin and mm-hmm. by me. And this was actually a very good exchange.
Yeah.
And so we also stayed in touch, and we also updated each other on what was going on in Tulsa at the time and what to expect also. Also, another project that the university applied for, the pop-up university that was scheduled to occur in September last year,
mm-hmm.
did not happen as scheduled, and it's now being moved to spring next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware about this project. So the Federal Ministry of Education and Research was funding internationalization endeavors of different universities across Germany, and the University of Siegen applied for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were awarded €25,000 to set up a pop-up university there. So this will be an event that will now happen in spring next year, and members of our faculties will go there and set up a pop-up campus, so mm-hmm. to say, at the university. There will be research slams and workshops and presentations from all the different research fields that we're having here mm-hmm. at this university. We hope that by this networking will happen, also global branding of the University of Siegen might be positively affected by this. And this then coincides also with the 50th anniversary of this university.
That's exactly right, yes. And I think also some representative of our department of the international office mm-hmm. will also be there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. It's probably going to be great. And let's hope let's hope it will happen. And then the COVID numbers will go down even more.
But despite COVID, I also had students, outgoing students from our university who studied, for example, in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they also had remote teaching, and you could as well do your semester abroad here in Germany and just attend the remote courses, they traveled to Sweden and stayed there, lived there, and became members of student unions, and had a very pleasurable experience nevertheless. So.
Yeah.
This can also happen, that students, despite of COVID, the COVID situation, were able to travel and
exactly.
be in those different countries and still make good experiences, even though it's not the same as being on campus.
Of course.
And we all hope that the situation might change for the better soon.
Yeah.
And so let's see, with vaccinations going on and numbers subsiding, at least over here in Germany, that we will have a situation maybe in the next semester or in the next year then.
Yeah.
To let these exchanges flourish again the way
exactly.
they were before.
Exactly, yeah. And speaking of which, this week we are going to have an Instagram takeover with one of our Erasmus students currently in Vilnius in mm-hmm. Lithuania.
Oh.
And she will take over our Instagram account for a weekend and will show us around in Vilnius and how she studied there. And she also had remote studies. So she wasn't on campus. It wasn't allowed. But she said, nevertheless, I had a great time. So her time is almost coming to an end. I think she leaves at the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she said it was a great,
great experience. She wouldn't trade it for the world. So yeah, so you can have a good time despite COVID, I think.
Exactly.
It's just what you make out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she said, well, sometimes, yeah, it was hard just sitting in front of the computer all day long. But I mean, the students studying here in Germany right now are in the same situation. Mm-hmm. But you can also do that in another country.
Of course.
Yeah.
And changing the context in which you move just does so much also to, improving the way you see the world, and
exactly.
You having to talk a different language and so on is also improving your international skills a wee bit further. And so even though you might not be able to go to campus, it's still worthwhile applying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember this from my personal experiences when I was a student. I studied in Glasgow.
Ah.
And this was just so rewarding for me. And I wish I could just pass on the experience also to students over here. So I always recommend students to go find ways to study abroad, or
yeah.
at least work or do a practical training
exactly.
abroad, just so that you also expand your view on the world, and it also increases your sense of tolerance
yeah.
towards different cultures, and just your communication skills. So
exactly, yeah.
Just because of changing the context in which you are and getting to know the way of life that is going on in a different country. So this is
yeah.
something that is always worthwhile doing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't want to add more to this because this is also my opinion. Besides COVID, another great topic last year, or in the last couple of years actually, was the situation in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the Brexit going on, and well, England and Great Britain is usually a really popular Erasmus destination. So how is it all working now? Because I mean, our students must be frustrated, or must be frustrated not to go there, or don't have the opportunity anymore. And how is that affecting your work?
Yeah, we basically have to look for new cooperations and new possibilities. Well, universities will still exist in the UK. But we cannot maintain cooperations within the same contracts that existed beforehand. So we
yeah.
have to basically start things anew. And that is why it's important that also professors who are working at this university, who have international contacts, may reach out to universities that they have contacts with and ask about possibilities for international cooperation, and maybe then start from scratch a
yeah.
new a student exchange via, for instance, a research exchange. This is usually how these things are going. But we also still have cooperation with Ireland, and we are also set to expand this, as probably every university in Germany is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we are studying a Center for Irish Studies over here at the University of Siegen.
Okay.
And we have colleagues here at our uni that do Irish studies. So Dr. Alessandra Boller, for example, she initiated this idea. We had readings by Irish authors over the past semesters that were all held via Zoom, of course.
Yeah.
Right now we have a lecture series with professors from Ireland
mm-hmm.
Who talk about Irish fiction, and we just hope that we can strengthen this way possible research collaborations and eventually also maybe a student exchange.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is basically now demanding more groundwork and to think of alternatives and be more inventive, so to say, about
mm-hmm.
solutions, especially with England.
Yeah.
And we just hope that new things will fall into place fairly soon then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's hope for that. Because I know, personally, I know not students who study at Siegen right now, but who study at another university, who are, yeah, disappointed and frustrated that that happened, that the Brexit happened, and that this, yeah, these corporations are now, the contracts are now broken, that
mm-hmm.
they're no longer worth anything. And so either they have to pay a lot to go to uni over there, or yeah, the other way is not to go and choose another country, but they really want
mm-hmm.
to go to England, which is then frustrating.
Yeah, but it
yeah.
but it also offers opportunities. For example, you can start working on more focused cooperations with one
yeah.
university, for example, that you identify with. And that you then expand. And I think this is also the way to go in the near future, to find partner universities with which you are having a more focused exchange program mm-hmm. that also resembles somewhat the conditions that we have here in Siegen, so that also students who would go there can see how this cooperation and this exchange is making sense, and that the disciplines are offered that they are studying as well, and that certain research foci also exist yeah. that they then can go into. So I think being forced into this new situation is also allowing us to think more about what campus do we want to work with, and also why. Yeah. So this is also a chance, I
yeah.
would say.
Yeah. So let's pretend a student of yours
okay.
comes to you and says, Dr. Hartwig, I really, really want to study abroad. What would you recommend to this student?
Well, first of all, I would congratulate the student
okay.
on the decision to go abroad.
Yeah.
Because we also see that a lot of students are afraid to travel and mm-hmm. To do this. So this already takes a lot of courage to make the decision, first of all. I would then recommend the student to also check out the webpage of the international office over here to see what exchanges are existing at the moment,
mm-hmm.
what are the deadlines for applications. For example, with Tulsa, the deadline just passed,
yeah.
May 31st, and the next application window will open in the winter term between October 1st and November 30.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be aware about these deadlines, and then also check at the International Office webpage what is needed to hand in your application. Most often, for instance, a letter of motivation is required, and I can also help the student then in putting that together. For instance, things that matter that should be
yeah.
in there. So
yeah.
it's always very important to know basically why you want to go
abroad.
Why do you want to go abroad?
yeah.
Not only to the specific country that you selected.
Exactly.
But also the campus of your choice. So what do you already know about that campus and what is interesting to you?
Yeah.
And so in that sense, you need to ignite a spark with us also when we're reading your letter of motivation, that we really understand that you need to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And most often also language certificates are an issue. So we have to also talk about what are the requirements that you can prove that you have a sufficient language proficiency.
Yeah.
But this information can also be provided with at the international office. I will then look with the student also at the program of the partner university, what courses are offered
yeah.
in order to put together the learning agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll also get into conversation with my colleagues, if they would accredit certain courses,
yeah.
If they're not from my field, because I represent literary and cultural studies. But if you want to do something in linguistics, for example, or practical language training, so I need to reach out to them and get their confirmation that I'm able to accredit the course then in that sense.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we send the student off.
Okay. There was one thing I wanted to say mm-hmm. when you talked about the motivation letter and the motivation which stands behind it. Exactly. So does it matter, in your own opinion, if you go in your bachelor's or your master's studies? What would you say?
Well, most of the exchange programs that exist would actually be for undergraduates. So if you are in your bachelor's studies, you have better options and chances
mm-hmm.
to go. But this not necessarily means that if you're a master's student, you're not able to go, because most often there's a leniency at the partner university to also accept you as a master's student, so that you can attend courses in the master's program, even though you go with an exchange that is set up for the undergraduate
yeah.
program. But you might expect that you have to queue up in the second lane for that. So if there are not
okay.
sufficient applicants in the undergraduate program, then you might have a fair chance to take the place of an undergraduate student. But then there are also exchanges existing that are geared towards master's students.
Oh,
so
right. okay.
that difference you can learn about when you look at the international office webpage and you
mm-hmm.
look at the existing exchanges and then go
yeah.
eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, I would also recommend to every student and to every listener who is now listening to us, go abroad.
Yeah.
Make your experiences and have a great time. And if you're studying, if you're still studying here at Siegen or wherever you're studying right now, take the chance as soon as you can, because it really enriches your personality,
yeah.
I would say.
That is true.
Yeah.
I can only second that.
Okay, great. Marcel, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Well, yeah, at the moment we actually have a professor here at our uni from Norfolk State University.
Yeah.
He was not able to come last semester with the Bollenbeck stipend that is offered by this university because of the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so his stay was moved to June, July of this year. He will also have a presentation on his research, and students who attended his course in the last semester might also have a chance to reach out to him. So he is with us this semester, and we will also further work with him on the collab between Norfolk State and University. So this is also a very good program that is still in place, the Bollenbeck program, to have professors from prospective partner universities mm-hmm. also come over for a two-month research stay and do their research here, and also tell our students and also our staff members about their research and network and build up possible cooperations here.
Yeah.
So that's maybe a thing that I just wanted to say because this is just now happening.
Yeah, great.
I picked him up at the airport last week, Thursday,
and
he's just settling in. So even though the campus is empty, basically, he's here and he had to be here because the application was for last year, but now it needs to be settled.
Okay.
And yeah, we still look forward to meet him then on campus and to work together with him, because this is also now possible with us being able to return to our offices.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So that's maybe a thing worth mentioning.
Okay. Now. Cool. Yeah. If there's anything else, please feel free to say. Otherwise, I would say goodbye and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It was really interesting. There was a lot of new information that I personally didn't know. And I wish you all the best. Good luck. And especially also for next year. Let's hope Tulsa will happen with the pop-up university. And we'll keep in touch, I would say.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you too.